You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Friday and it's a holiday. It's the 4th of July. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Or as John has said, or said earlier this morning, back when, in 1776, when the folks here in the United States decided to get rid of their colonial rulers, the British royals, they stuck it to them. Who do you want to stick it to today? We want to hear your story, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can drop us a note at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Today, for some, is just another day off from work, and for others, it's a real celebration of the commemoration of the American colonies, Declaration of Independence. And for others, there's something in between. Our contributor, Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor at Essence Magazine, says there are multiple meanings for the 4th. He's in a city that's all about multiple American experiences, and that's New Orleans, Louisiana. He's there for a musical festival that his magazine sponsors. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Adora, John, and Femi.
I
miss you guys.
I love talking to Patrick Henry on the 4th
of July.
That's
exactly right. That's great. Listen, John, Irish name, British last name, and I grew up in Scotland County.
Man, you got it all.
What is New Orleans? You're in New Orleans, though, right now. What does it symbolize for you on this 4th of July?
Well, New Orleans, for me, at least for the past 14 years, has symbolized, you know, our festival, which celebrates African-American culture, which is not celebrated on the 4th of July at all. Which is one of the reasons that we decided to do this huge festival, which draws about 200,000 people who opt not to have hot dogs on the 4th of July, but alligator on a stick.
Alligator on a stick?
Yum.
Yeah.
But isn't there, given that New Orleans is still recovering from the aftermath of Katrina, is there some cultural meaning to being there on this day that we celebrate independence in America?
Well, New Orleans has always held a special place in the African-American community. It's been, you know, long had, you know, all of our cultural traditions here, from music and the blues to food to the enslavement. You know, you can always trace all of those elements of who we are as a people to New Orleans, more so than any other city.
Let's talk about the July 4th for the Negro, the speech by former slave Frederick Douglass. Let's listen to a bit of it spoken by James Earl Jones.
This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony.
That was a speech that Frederick Douglass made 160 years ago. And Patrick, in your estimation, is there a dilemma for African Americans in observing July 4th?
There is. And I wanted to also point out that Frederick Douglass pointedly mentioned New Orleans in that speech, because at that time it had the most horrific of the slave markets. And so when he was talking about enslavement, he was addressing what was happening in the New Orleans slave market. African Americans have always felt ambivalent about the 4th of July. You know, we are quite patriotic. You know, I'm sure you, Adora, can relate to this. When we're in school, you know, as kids, we love, you know, putting our hands over our hearts and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It's only until we learn that we're black. We first think of ourselves as Americans until we learn that we're black. And then once we learn that we're black, not from our own culture, there are all these, you know, meanings that have nothing to do with who we are or what we see in our homes and in our lives. And that's one of the things we've been doing for years, for generations on the 4th of July, celebrating family and family traditions instead of going to, you know, the town square where there's, you know, picnic baskets and fireworks and, you know, singing of the Star Spangled Banner. We've been, you know, doing the electric slide in our backyard during our family reunions, having ribs and potato salad.
You know, for lots of people, that's
John, you did that as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, having grown up in lots of diverse communities around the United States, you know, my dad worked for IBM and dragged me all over the country. I mean, it's striking that over time, as well as over space and across ethnicity, the meaning of the 4th of July is varied and has evolved. And I think in some ways that may be unprecedented when you think about Independence Day celebrated in other national groups You know, we're really a moving target here in the United States on the 4th of July.
Exactly. And John, I don't know if you guys know about Juneteenth. You know,
absolutely.
On June 19th, 1865, a Union general, I think Gordon Granger, rode into Galveston, Texas, and announced that there had been this Emancipation Proclamation thing 2.5 years later, and 250,000 Texas slaves didn't know. I mean, no one told them. You know, talk about delayed response, right? Or delayed delivery.
3 weeks ago, it's still celebrated today. 3 weeks ago, a lady in my building at the Unitarian Church was taking picnic supplies down to her church to celebrate Juneteenth with the whole Unitarian community in Brooklyn Heights.
Right, with the strawberry soda and the barbecue,
yeah,
you know, people dress up because, you know, slaves, you know, weren't allowed to dress up or to, you know, show various colors because of the slave codes. And so Juneteenth really was our Independence Day. And what we try to do with this festival is to take a lot of those elements of Juneteenth, which, you know, of course, you know, parties and, you know, it's very festive, but also to address serious issues as well.
Right, because it is more than just headliners like Mary J. Blige. There are a series of forums that you hold on the state of Black America, right?
Exactly. So tomorrow we'll hear from, you know, Bill Cosby and Alvin Poussant. We'll hear from Ray Nagin. we'll hear from Bishop T.D. Jakes. We'll hear from Tom Joyner. We'll hear from Maxine Waters. This is the 4th of July weekend, guys. And so we're hearing about the state of Black America and failing schools and AIDS in our community because we're not getting those issues anywhere else. Certainly during the 4th of July, no one is talking about the issues that we feel are specific to our community.
Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor at Essence Magazine. I'm going to ask you to hold on and hang with us for a bit because right now we're going to get some headlines from Femi Oke.
Good morning. It is 28 minutes past the hour. Ingrid.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.